On Sunday, we heard about Jesus calling and sending the 72. Today's gospel is an event prior to that one, the calling and sending of the 12. Whenever we talk about a group, we can reflect on the group as a whole, or we can reflect on the experience of the individual members of the group. Both are valid, and we do this all the time. I was thinking recently there were a number of graduations, and there were commentaries about the experience of the graduating class of 2022, meaning all the graduates from all the schools all over the country, reflecting on the character of their experience of education going through the pandemic years, even to experience graduation together after not being together for 2 or 2.5 years, things like that. So that's the kind of big picture perspective. And then you can go to, well, Las Piñas East High School, for example, and say, what about this particular school and their experience, the graduates of this school in this year? Or you can narrow it down to one particular graduate and say, well, what did he experience as a student, or what did she experience? Now, the reason I mention this is because when we talk about the apostles, if it's the feast day of one of the apostles, we tend to look at that particular one. Today is not the feast day of any apostles. Today is the feast day of Saint Maria Goretti. But the gospel gives us the whole group of 12. It doesn't say much about any one in particular, just a few details, but it's really a picture of the whole. When we think of the group of the apostles, I think we usually think of their place in the church, even their place in history. The apostles are the foundation stones of the church, the pillars of the church. They're the ones who have been entrusted with the gospel and who have handed that gospel on to us. They are the first bishops, first pope and the first bishops. So we think of them as this essential group for the life of the church. And that's certainly true. Once we have what the apostles hand on to us, we have the whole faith. If we deviate from what the apostles have handed on to us, we deviate from the tradition, well, then we're leaving the faith. So that's very important. And Jesus had this in mind, for sure, when he chose the 12. He was establishing a new community, a church. He was going to build a church with these 12. The number 12 is significant because this is the new Israel. The old Israel was the 12 tribes, named after the 12 sons of Jacob. So 12 for the Jews was a very significant number. It represented all of them. Well, 12 is a significant number for the new covenant too. It represents all of those who are followers of Jesus Christ. In this particular gospel, the word 12 is mentioned 3 times, capital T, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, and at the end it says these 12. So there's a big emphasis on this number 12. That's very deliberate on Jesus' part. So if we look at them as a group, we say, well, this is really significant. God really has a plan for this group. And that's true of every group. It's true of the church as a whole. What an extraordinary mission has been given to the church. When I was preaching on Sunday, I was saying the 72 represent all of us. The 72 represent everybody who is part of the community of faith. We all have a part in this mission of proclaiming the gospel. That's the communal perspective. But then we can narrow it down to the experience of each individual apostle, or applying it to ourselves, each one of us. The apostles themselves did not know this big picture, at least not at first, and maybe not even ever, because they may have died before they saw much of the establishment of the church that we know. But for sure, at the beginning, when they were called, they did not know of themselves as the 12 foundation stones of the new community of faith. They were just guys who were attracted to or felt called by Jesus Christ. They may not even have known each other very well at the beginning. Of course, the two pairs of brothers knew each other, and those four knew each other, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They used to work together. Philip and Bartholomew were friends, we know that. Thomas, Matthew, tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, we don't know how he fits in, Thaddeus, Simon, another Simon, Judas Iscariot. Now, each individual man had his own personal experience of being called and of responding to the call. He had his own very limited perspective of what was going on here. And no doubt what preoccupied them, each one of them, from day to day was their own little part in the mission. It doesn't mean that they didn't have a big part in the plan of God. It only means they didn't know what it was. But if they were faithful, and 11 out of the 12 of them were faithful, if they were faithful, if they did what God called them to do, if they went where they were sent, if they followed this instruction about how to be a fruitful apostle, God did the rest. I like reflecting on this because so much of what is happening, so much of the fruit of our efforts to serve God are outside are beyond our view. We can't see what God is doing. We don't know the fruit of what we plant now, what we say to our children or our grandchildren, or how we relate to our neighbors. We don't know what's going to happen from that effort. God knows. Our job is simply to be faithful, to get up every morning, say yes to God, say yes to whatever, however His will unfolds for us in the day, repent when we sin, reconcile when we offend one another, and just trust the rest of it to God. Today's saint is an example of this, Saint Maria Goretti. I mean, she's just a little girl. 11 years old, she's very poor, she's uneducated, she's hardworking, she lives in a very poor family, her father is dead, she's helping her mother and her brothers and sisters. You know the story. She's a nobody, she's a nobody. She has no influence on the world, she has no influence on the church. She's an unknown, insignificant child. And that's what she would think of herself. She didn't know what her place in the church would be. She probably never thought about that in her life. She knew her faith. She was well trained in her faith. Her mother certainly gave her a good foundation in the faith insofar as she could in a simple, basic way. She knew Jesus Christ. She knew the difference between right and wrong. She dedicated herself to doing her task of the day. Work, obey, serve, pray, and then go to bed at night. Wasn't that complicated, her life? Until this neighbor who has evil intentions on her, until he comes into the picture, her life is pretty simple. Very difficult, very hard, but not that complicated. Well, along comes this attacker, Alessandro Sarinelli, makes attempts on her. She resists him. He keeps pursuing her until finally he violently attacks her, and she very strongly resists him. This is not so rare. Remember a couple of years ago when some celebrity, I don't remember who it was, revealed that she had been sexually harassed or raped. And then this movement started on the social media, Me Too, Me Too. And thousands of women started saying, well, that happened to me too. I too was victim of an attempted rape, or I too was a victim of a violent sexual attack or harassment in the workplace, in the neighborhood, in the family, and my goodness, a flood of testimonials about this sort of evil attack. It's like an epidemic, or we could say a pandemic of sexual offenses. And sometimes the offenses took place when they were young girls, like Maria Goretti. She's not even 12 years old. Okay, so I'm saying, here's Maria Goretti. Her personal experience is she's a poor girl in a poor family doing what she's supposed to do. Along comes this guy. She says, this is not what we're supposed to do. Don't do this. And he kills her. The effect of Maria Goretti's faithfulness, the impact of her witness, partly because she resisted evil so beautifully, so strongly, she defended her purity so heroically, but also as she was dying, she forgave her attacker and prayed for him. And then that attacker, after some years of hard-heartedness, repented, and miracles started to be reported through the intercession of this young girl. And so, some 50 years later, when she's canonized, it's a worldwide phenomenon. You see, the point I'm making is we can look at what God is doing in the big picture. We can say what the role of the bishops, the popes and the bishops are in the history of the church. Or we can look at the experience of one apostle, Bartholomew, Philip, Matthew, tax collector, Andrew. Pick out one of them and say, well, his experience is this big. Or what God did with him is this big. Same thing with Maria Goretti. Her experience, tragic, beautiful in its victorious way, but still very small, and in a little unknown place in a poor corner of Italy. And yet, in God's plan, it's big. She didn't know that. Well, we don't know. We don't know what our place is in God's plan. It's enough for us to say, God knows, and we say yes to him. If God allows us to experience poverty, we are faithful to him. If he allows us to experience persecution, even this kind of sexual harassment persecution, violent attack, say yes to God. Say no to evil and let God do the rest. That's what I think we can learn from St. Maria and from the apostles and from the whole history of the church. We entrust ourselves, our whole hearts, body and soul, to our Lord Jesus.